Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Lounge radio show, where we expose the myths of entrepreneurship and release the weight of it all. Real people, real issues, and real talk with expert solutions. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show as we welcome our host, Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru.
And thank you for tuning into another powerful episode of the Entrepreneurs Lounge radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Alicia Brown, and with me is my co-host, Rebecca Ruth, CEO of Mode by Rebecca Ruth, the brand that reminds us to show up on purpose every day. How are you doing this evening, Rebecca? Hello? Maybe she can't hear us. It's probably a little bit of birthday celebrations because it also just happens to be her birthday today. So this show is a very, very serious one, so hopefully she'll be joining us in a moment. But we are so excited for the amazing opportunity to interview tonight's featured guest, Alicia Amsler, and the founder of the unique and amazing nonprofit, One Way to Life. You need to hear about this one-of-a-kind extraordinary nonprofit and mission, but first I want to share the following show's disclaimer with you.
This show, our social media accounts, and any related content offered is done in the hopes of bringing enlightenment and awareness to our listeners. They are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate in any way any disease or condition, or to promote any specific lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practice. Always seek the advice of a qualified health or clinical professional with any questions you may have. Never disregard professional help or medical advice, or delay in seeking it because of something you have read in our content or heard on this show.
All right. And yes, she is with us again. Rebecca Ruth, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. I've been here.
Apparently, someone is celebrating their birthday. And yeah. So we give you grace, but happy birthday today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Now, of course, we traveled together. And they've probably already seen the pictures on our social media for this third annual event for One Way to Life. It was phenomenal. And it actually deals with a subject that is very close to both of our hearts, dealing with mental wellness, mental health, suicide prevention, and depression. And just to give you some statistics, just in case you're not aware, according to the Centers for Disease Control, in the U.S., every day, we have approximately 123 Americans that die by suicide. It's quoted that every 12 minutes, there's one death by suicide in the U.S. And of course, globally, the numbers are even worse. Of course, suicide is the second leading cause of death in the world. Also, nearly 800,000 people die each year across the globe by suicide. And that's roughly one death every 40 seconds. And depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So we definitely have an epidemic that has a stigma to it. Many people don't want to talk about it, and they suffer under a veil of silence and hopelessness. And that is why we celebrate people like Alicia Amsler. She's the founder of the nonprofit One Way to Life, whose mission is to encourage people to engage in conversation on mental health and suicide awareness, also providing resources and education. And together, they are pioneering the connection of beauty and fashion to support the fight. So without further ado, I want you to help us welcome to the Entrepreneurs Lounge radio show and podcast, Alicia Amsler.
Thank you.
And
so
Alicia,
much.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, awesome. We are more than glad to have you, especially for such an important topic, very important topic.
Yeah.
And of, of course, as we said earlier, the fashion show was amazing. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Our third annual.
Yes. And I know it's much bigger than a fashion show. So I want you to share with our listeners, what is Runway to Life and how in the world do you use fashion to break the stigma of depression and mental illness?
Yes, well, Runway to Life is a fashion show that we do once a year to bring people together. But we're more than just a fashion show. So throughout the year, we actually educate hairdressers on knowing signs, and even if they struggle themselves in the salons. We're the one industry that sits for so long with our clients and have personal connections with our clients. So by training our hairdressers or our service providers, makeup artists, you know, your receptionist, anyone that is in the salons, they're able to actually see the red flags. And when they see the red flags, they're able to get help or provide resources for the people that are struggling. So that's some of the things that we do. But we've actually gone further than just doing hairdressers now and educating hairdressers. Now we're actually educating bartenders, hotel management teams, people in our community, you know, because really everyone needs to be educated. And our community, especially, you know, by doing the big show where you ask, like, why the show? Well, one, it's my background of being in the hair industry for 28 years. So I've been a Redken Elite Salon for a while now, and I used to do some fashion shows. So coming up with Runway to Life just seemed, you know, simple. We love fashion. We love, you know, hair and the beauty industry.
Yeah.
And we make people look good all the time, right, on the outside.
Right.
But this way we're able to help people heal from the inside out and actually feel like they're beautiful. Not just look like they're beautiful, but actually feel like they're beautiful.
Yes. And you hit something so pivotal. Because, you know, anyone that's used to getting their hair done professionally, you know, that is almost therapeutic. You know, that's the time that you're there, you relax, you get to talk and chit chat. You know, especially if you have your regular hairstylist, you form a relationship. So sometimes they become like friends. They know you and some of your personal issues a little bit better than your family at times. But that is where it's probably very pivotal to note the signs of distress that maybe some of the rest
of
us are missing. Wow.
Absolutely.
And then you said with the hotels and bartenders.
Yeah, because a lot of times people will go to hotels and to end their life. So just think, too, suicide only lasts, when you go into crisis, it only lasts about 20 minutes. Okay, so that doesn't mean that that you don't have a thought again. So someone actually can have a thought of suicide, but the crisis lasts for about 20 minutes to 2.5 hours. So the more people that are trained, the more people that are looking for the signs, the more lives are going to be saved because we're going to intervene on that 20-minute to 2.5-hour time period. Because remember, people don't want to end their lives. They want to end the pain. So when crisis happens, and it can, especially when the thoughts are already there in the mindset, that they trigger, and they can be triggered by all kinds of things. But a lot of times we look at people, we think, oh, it's because, you know, they're going through a divorce. Oh, they just lost their job.
Uh-huh.
That's why. But that is not the reason at all. Those things are pieces of it, meaning they become very weighted. Like we've all felt a weight before, right? You know, where you feel like, oh, I just can't take one more thing. But there's also been times in your life that you've probably dealt with a lot of things and people are thinking, wow, like you're still moving, you're still doing stuff, right? So when people are actually dealing with a mental health condition, and they're not dealing with their mental health, and then all these pieces, like a breakup happens, a job fell through, they already felt unworthy, you know, and then someone said something to them. So all these things, if you can imagine even a piece of paper, that's your mental health, and all these things I'm mentioning are weights that I'm putting on the paper. If you never take care of the mental health, the paper, the bottom, the foundation, you're not going to be able to take care of life. Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, it makes perfect sense.
So that's,
I think you put it perfectly.
That's why we have to be so, you know, really, even self-care. We live in a society where we always forget about ourselves, right? And we take care of everyone else, and then we feel depleted.
Yes.
So when you feel anxiety, so you really think about it. When we get, and a lot of people deal with anxiety, but when we deal with anxiety in ways, it's really great for our body. They're indicators for you to know that something's off track. It means a stop, a yield sign. So when you are feeling that anxiety, maybe you wake up in the morning and you're feeling that anxiousness, or you can't even get out of bed because something's not right, right? That's not normal. So if you're staying at home and it's, you know, going in a day or 2 days or 3 days, then something is not right with the mental health. It doesn't mean you're crazy. It doesn't mean that you're the only one. There are so many people that are struggling. And the way I look at it is the more that you're able to reach out and actually say, look, something's not right. I need someone to help me. You're going to save your life. And you're going to end up saving someone else's life because you're going to start talking about it. And that's what all of this is. This is what the show's about. Because you're around other people that are like, hey, I deal with that too. Or I feel like this. And more people are going to be able to get help because, you know, I always say the little script of saying, whatever you bring out in the light, it can't, you know, nothing in the dark can stay if you shine light on it. So think about everything that we speak up in life. We've been trained to like, oh, we can't talk about it. That we need to isolate and go in. To, you think about an animal when it's harmed or it's been wounded. It runs and it hides and it hibernates and it licks its wounds. Well, in ways that we do that as well. But we're not meant for isolation, you know. So the difference between isolation and to be still or rest, right? So to be still and like refresh your mind and, you know, that you may feel depleted and you might need to fill yourself back up with something. But isolation is totally different. They've actually done studies where they show people that have isolated themselves. And they've even done it where they've taken people for 48 hours and they put them through isolation in a dark room. And they had them do a test before they went in. And they actually did the test 48 hours, the same test, and they were 60% less taking the test because the brain is not working the same as it was when you walked in. So think about when we go into isolation. Yes, that shows you right there. Our brain is smart. We are so intelligent that sometimes we can't turn our brains off, right? Well, you're never going to turn your brain off.
Yes.
It's always going to think. It's always, but what you can do is you can actually start taking your thoughts captive. You can start coming against what you're thinking. You can start reaching out and talking to people. If you can't do it yourself, grab people that are positive that can speak into you. You know, so that's why it's really important to have like a safety net of close friends that that you can go to and you can open up to and your doctor and your parents, just anyone.
Yes. And I love all the information that you're sharing because that really is the enemy of suicide and of depression and of mental illness is that when we're in isolation and anyone going through any of these things are just weighing down your soul and weighing down your spirit, you start to think you're all alone or it's just you going through this and you can't see through the darkness. So if you can stay in isolation, if you can stay secluded, if you cannot talk about it, those things just eat at you almost like a cancer. And, you know, I always tell people from firsthand experience, no one truly wants to kill themselves. They just don't see hope and they want to stop the pain. So if we have some of these conversations, if we note some of these signs, it's not saying that you're going to save them, but you're going to intervene. And maybe you just have something that you offer them a glimmer of hope, you offer them some help, or you point them in the right direction to prevent that person from ending their life in this moment and get the help they really need.
Absolutely. People want to be seen, you know, and
yes.
There are warning signs. Anyone that is struggling with suicidal thoughts, and it's a lot of people out there that do, so
yes.
1 in 20 suicidal thoughts. So when they,
uh-huh.
when they are, you know, they are actually putting signs out. You might see things on people's Facebooks. Sometimes you see pictures come down. The loss of identity, right? That's a major thing. They just feel worthless. Their identity has been crashed. They no longer feel worthy. They feel like they are a nuisance in the way. So a lot of times you'll see pictures of themselves being blurred or taken off or quotes over and over again. You can scroll down people's Facebooks and actually they're screaming, even though they're not saying the words, hey, I'm going to kill myself. But they might be showing other people that have. They might be showing quotes that really pierce. So those are great signs to look at. And if you ever think it, you're never going to put the thought in someone else's mind. Yes. That means that if you actually reach out to someone and say, hey, look, some of the things that you're showing, they look like you are suicidal. Are you suicidal? You want to be as direct as you can. And a lot of times we sugarcoat things for our own self-being. It's not for them.
Yes.
It's for us. So if we can remember to just be direct, ask the simple questions. If you have the eyes to see, and that thing is in life, sometimes you have been given those goggles. You've been given the glasses to see that person. And I really want people to realize that you may be the only one with the eyes to see. Now, if you're not strong enough at that point, then you want to give it to someone. It's like passing the baton to someone that can help. Do not pass it to someone that will blab about it or not be a strong person. That's why what we're doing in our community, we're educating and we're doing safe talk classes. We're making people aware. We have some people that are actually trained for interventions. You don't need every single person in your community to be able to do interventions, but we do need everybody in our community to become helpers. And to become a helper means that you might have an eye to see, and then you pass that baton to someone that can do an intervention. And then that way we're able to get more and more people help, right? So, people say, oh, Lisa, this is great. But, you know, now we get them help and we can't even get them into the systems, right? They're so busy and you can't. The thing is that it's not always just getting them, not saying that it's not about getting them to a counselor, because absolutely, they need a whole system in play. You know, if you even think of like, if you think of a chair, you know, and you're sitting in a chair and you're weak and you're the only one holding it up, you're going to fall. So if you can imagine where you have strength in those legs, you want to put a counselor, a doctor, your pastor, a support group. You want to bring in as much support as you can, because remember I told you the thought was already there. It doesn't go away. The thought's there.
Right.
Okay? So
exactly.
It can happen where it comes back. So what we're trying to teach people is that not that you're never going to struggle, because life gives you troubles, right? We don't know what
we're
expecting tomorrow. But what I am saying is that we're going to help you struggle better. We're going to give you tools in your pocket where you're able to pull these things out when you are struggling, and you're going to be more supportive.
Yes. And I really love what I love about Runway to Life is that you're showing it's all of us that has to do a part. You know, you can take any group. You can take, just say, children. And a lot of times people will shift that responsibility. Oh, it's the teacher's fault. Or, you know, it's the responsibility of the principal. But we all live in a community where a child touches us, whether it's church, whether, you know, you're a community center. Some point in the day or in the week, you will interact with the child, whether they're your birth child or someone else's. So it's all of our part to be alert, to be vigilant. And as you said, everyone's not going to be the counselor. Everyone is not going to be that intervention person, but you play some part in having ears, in having eyes to see what the problem is, and then having tools and resources to know what to do how to react and what's your part in getting this person help, because that's the first part. They need help. So someone needs to do something instead of just being a spectator. But how did you come up with the idea to make this a nonprofit?
Well, I think the idea came, I'm very faith-based, and, you know, God showed me, I'm a big visionary, and he totally showed me the show before it ever happened. So I actually saw the whole show.
Wow.
And the name was given to me the same time the vision was given to me. I purchased the name. I was at a hotel, in a hotel room at 6:30 in the morning, waking up, just going through the internet and even checking the name. And I purchased the name at the same time. So I'm a type
wow.
of person that I don't sit around. If I feel like if God is behind it, I'm going to walk in obedience. And I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't even have to know it all. Because that's one thing. He will give you the wisdom. He'll give you the understanding. And he'll place exactly what I need right in front of me. And that is exactly what has happened in the last 3 years.
Wow. And I ask you that question because, you know, sometimes people feel like, well, in order to do something like that, you need a background in this, or you need a background in this, or you need a background, you know, all these degrees and this and that, when it's like, no. You completely talked yourself out of doing what was birthed in your heart. You disqualified your own self because you're not looking at, you know, the mission. You're not looking at what he's birthed in you and then having faith, as you said, to go ahead through it. So what made you push past that and keep going with this mission?
Well, like you said, faith. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us power, strength,
yes.
and sound mind. So wherever fear is only a blockage, and God doesn't give us a blockage. I'm not in bondage, right? I'm helping people that are, and I'm setting them free.
Yes.
So we're meant to go to glory to glory. That means great things to come continually, right? That doesn't mean that we don't go through hard times or roadblockers or things like that. But, you know, by him telling me that I go glory to glory, it's like I'm on a roller coaster and I'm not supposed to get off, right? That things are going to be even divine connections and you know, the things that I need. He owns all the riches. He owns everything. And that's what I would keep telling myself. It's not me. It's not, you know, I'm not the source. So what I tell you too, where we have to take our thoughts captive, I had to do this.
Yes.
Even when people have faith, I'm not saying that I'm just perfect. No, that even through this, God grew my faith through this whole process, and I saw his faithfulness. I have seen people come out of depression. I have seen lives being saved. I mean, even today, here I am. I'm still a hairdresser, and I'm actually cutting this lady's hair for the very first time, and I just felt something off of her. Well, God can give you abilities, too, and one of the abilities is just feeling the sense of people, right, where just I could feel that something was wrong, something she was going through. And the conversation, as I'm talking with her, I'm finding out that her son had taken his life 5 years ago. Here, and I'm thinking, you have no idea what I even do. And here she is in my chair, right? Nothing by chance.
No.
And here I am speaking life into her, and even feeling like God was just speaking to her, saying that she was going to be healed, and that her life was not going to be the same. That God saw her. And she sat in my chair today, and she cried. And sometimes we can be really scared about obedience, right? Because I was actually fearful of telling her that. Because what if she doesn't? What if? Right? What if?
Exactly.
That's the same thing in life. What if? But what if we don't walk in obedience? What if we don't take the chance? Because this is what happened on the other side of me being obedient. Even though it was hard, sometimes I have to step back and I have to pray over it. Lord, give me the strength, because right now I don't have it. So as I'm starting to speak to her and like feeling that God's just letting her know that she was going to be healed. She had all these things that were wrong with her, and God was showing me that she was going to be healed, but also her inside out was going to be healed. And she had a daughter that was struggling with depression and everything because she just lost her brother. What I didn't know that she was – 2 hours before she came to see me, she was on her knees questioning God and asking him to answer her. And he used me to speak into her when she's crying in my chair, and she was actually seeking and feeling happiness for the first time in her life.
My God.
This is why I do what I do. This is why I do what I do. Because God doesn't have this just for me. He has this
right.
for everybody.
You know, yes.
He has this
yes, he does.
And this love for everybody. You know, and I think it's hard because we're like, then why does bad things happen? It's just that question we get so stuck on. You know, we live in a world
right.
that's hard, right? And we get choices, and it's so hard. But I can tell you this. I have seen mothers that have lost their children, and I see them where they are now saving lives. So I've seen good come out of the worst situations. And, you know, being even what we're doing, it can be really tough sometimes. But I'm telling you, I'm seeing so much good, and I'm seeing so many people
yeah.
being broken of what they've been walking through. So it's more than a fashion show. It's
well,
more
yeah.
than just education. Now we're helping to build community, and God's really showing me that we need to, it's getting people out, speaking up about their pain. Even the vision he gave me of like pulling a tooth, I know that sounds crazy, but could you imagine pulling your tooth and it has infection in it? That's kind of like what we do with all the shame and the guilt and the things that we hold on to. But as we're pulling that tooth, as we're pulling the pain, as we're speaking up, and we're talking about whatever it is that's been secret or been holding us captive, and we're drawing it up, we're bringing light to it, and we're actually allowing healing to happen.
That is just a great example. That's a great example, because you would think about pulling a tooth. I don't care what needle they give you. There's some pain into it. There's some
sure.
pain involved. There's some uncomfortableness, but it's necessary.
Yeah.
Or else it's going to affect the entire body. So
yeah.
even
yeah.
that analogy is perfect. When you're dealing with these things, when you're, you know, going through mental illness, when you're going through depression, when things are just too heavy, I know it has a stigma
yeah.
to it, but they have to be addressed. It has to be pulled,
absolutely.
And you have to speak out. So I love that. But I also want to ask you, before we bring on Ms. Rebecca Ruth, I know she has her questions as well. I want to ask you, I know you talked about you as a business and the other businesses that you educate as well on this, so that they're able to recognize these signs and provide help. I know One Way to Life has partnered with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and all the training and things you do. But in the times we live in, and how prevalent mental health issues and depression are, do you believe that all business owners should have policies in place to recognize the signs of danger for those that they're interacting with and serving?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think even as a business owner myself, when I started this, I didn't know that I had 3 out of 23 that were suicidal. And that was 3 out of 23 that were suicidal, and we were able to get them help. But I actually did a test in my salon where I gave them questions. I didn't take their names, and it said the questions: I'm feeling great, I'm feeling okay, I'm feeling meh, I'm actually struggling. I need someone to reach out. I'm really struggling, and I had only one that said I'm great. Most were meh. The rest of the 20, you know, out of the 23 were from bottom down. So that shows you right there that it's not that it was just my salon. It's actually the numbers, the statistics that actually back it up. Businesses are losing money left and right. That people are not coming to work. They're missing out. They're,
yes.
you know, they'll have people that are a top 10, and then all of a sudden they've gone into a dry 3 months, and they can't figure out what's
right.
wrong. It's the mental health. A lot of times, more than likely, it needs to be in your one-on-ones. It needs to be in your evaluations. You know, think about it. It's in now. When you go into a doctor's office, it's in all your evaluations when you go to the doctor's office now. There's a reason for it. And it's because so many people are dealing with it. So it definitely needs to be like in some of your bigger companies where they have HR and things like that. And a lot of people are switching over and placing it in. But we still have a long way to go. But change is happening. People are, you know, the more, that's why when we're doing these classes and the education and the events, the more we make it aware, the more we stomp our feet, the more we talk about, hey, I'm just not doing good. The more that we're going to start changing things, right? So the more we actually keep quiet, the more change is never going to happen. So we need to start speaking up.
Yes, I love it. Love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hi, Alicia. This is Rebecca Ruth.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Once again, we're so glad to have you on the show. Of course, you know, you and I have talked a lot, so you know that fashion is my background. So one of the things that I loved about the Runway to Life fashion show is, you know, how you chose models. And I really applaud you for, you know, the diversity in, you know, in the models for the show. So can you share with, you know, our listening audience just how you did select your models and their range of experience and age?
Yes. So we actually did a couple of casting calls, and people would, you know, send in their photographs, and they would we would actually have them fill out a form. But they would come to the model call, and of course, they would do a little walk for us. We weren't looking for perfection. We were just looking for someone that could, you know, listen to instructions and to be able to come out. But we did ask the question. You know, would you like to volunteer if you were not selected? Because we also have to pick models that will go with the outfits and the whatever the designer is needing. But we had all age brackets, and we made sure that we had young ones as well as older ones. And that's because depression, anxiety, you know, suicidal, that it actually affects all ages. All ages.
Right.
The youngest that we have on document is 4 years old, which is insane. So, you know, just thinking that. So, and then it also affects so many older people. So we really wanted the diversity of our age bracket. Then I asked the question, do you have a story? And that's when everything shifted. We had people, you know, they would open up, they would cry, they would stand there and look at us for a second, but they started to feel comfortable as we asked them. And like that tooth I was telling you about pulling, you know, that's why sometimes it is painful and the tears will come, but it's the most rewarding because they're actually stepping out and they're doing something maybe that they haven't done, and they feel different afterwards. So it's helping to change lives no matter what, whether they're there for a, you know, a tryout, and we talk with them, we hug them, you know. We ask them if they would like to tell their stories. You know, again, all of us have gifts and talents, and some are amazing speakers. And as they were speaking, I would write down, you know, I would write a note down that that they would be amazing speaker, or they need to tell their testimony, or they need to write their story. Sometimes we're better writing than we are speaking, or sometimes we're better speaking than writing. So, you know, and then we went back and we asked some of them that said yes to actually start writing their story, where we could use it on their Runway to Life Instagram or Facebook, but also just to write their story, because sometimes people have never even written it. And whether you're ready to speak up on it, there's something about actually writing it down, you know, and it's also good to read someone else's. If you're not ready, reading someone else's can give you the confidence. But putting it on paper, kind of like that tooth pulling it out, you're bringing it up to surface. You're not giving it breath anymore. You're not, you know, you think about something that's toxic, you know, that that you're breeding and it's growing. You're actually bringing it up, putting air to it, and you're allowing healing to happen. And that actually happens with our thoughts and what we're writing, all that. I think if we actually started doing more of that, you would start seeing more people dealing with things, because we live so much in a world that we don't talk about things, and, you know, we just want to say, hey, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm great. I'm wonderful. Instead of saying, hey, I'm not doing okay.
Right. Yeah, and I'm, you know, I always say I love, obviously, I love the fashion industry, but I'll be the first one to say out loud to anyone that the fashion industry can be a very brutal industry. It's not always the nicest industry. So one of the things, you know, I always thought about, well, you know, with models who are involved in the show, you know, I know they're volunteers and you've kind of answered it now, but do you find that the models and it sounds like that they turn around and then they become part of, like, you know, they get involved with the trainings and the outreach that Runway to Life does, you know, throughout the year?
Yes, absolutely. So as we're growing, too, we're starting to see the needs. And that's what any good nonprofit will do is, you know, you're starting to see what the needs are as the years go by. What are people really needing? And like you said, the models, they've been so wonderful helping us. And now we're actually doing more events throughout the year. We're getting ready to put on a holiday event November 16th. And, you know, we will draw from some of our models again. But they don't want to stop. I've had so many call and say, look, we don't want it to be this one show, that something
right.
changed me, something's different. And
mm-hmm.
I think, like you and I had talked about, we want to, you know, start something.
Yeah.
We want to. We're now putting in place education and support groups where we want to educate our volunteers, educate anyone that is helping us, so that way they are knowing everything and they're getting the support that they need.
Right. Yeah, I think it's you know, I think it's really important. And as you said, you know, like as Runway to Life continues to grow, just so many more things are going to come to the surface. And, you know, I feel like Runway to Life is just going to get bigger and bigger and touch so many people. But I love that the models themselves, not only do they walk the runway and do events with, you know, the brands and the designers, but they're actually getting hands-on with the trainings and events. So for the trainings and events that are going out throughout the year, I know you mentioned, did you mention the holiday?
Yeah.
Shopping day? Okay. So there's that one. But how can the, you know, our audience participate in some of those, like, trainings and events? I know you do some classes as well as these events that you're going to start doing more and more. How can the audience participate in those?
Yes. Go to our website, runwaytolife.com. It also has our emails attached. Emailing us as well, information at runwaytolife.com. And also checking out our Facebook and our Instagram. And that's just Runway, the number to life. Runway, the numerical to life. So you're running to life, Runway to Life. And that way we'll always post up our events or our classes on all our social media. And again, if they're interested, they could also, we have a newsletter that they can go to our website and sign up. And as our newsletter, we put out e-blast of any kind of events or things that are coming out. That way they can continually see and get emails from us of the different events or classes and free education that we do in our community.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing your social media information. That was going to be a question coming up. My last question for you is, for anyone looking to, you know, donate or sponsor or just, you know, volunteer, be a part of the organization, what would you say your main need is as far as an organization?
Well, because we're still new, so, I mean, always finances and grants and things like that are always a great thing for us because it helps
mm-hmm.
us with the education, the books, all our resources. When we do events, we like to be able to provide resources for people, anything like tips and tricks. Any, like during the holidays, we want to put out tips for people if they're struggling, things that are going to help them, you know, just change up the mindset, but also be able to give things to them where they might need it to give it to their family. But also, again, like just the education itself for trainers and things like that, just it's we need to go at a faster rate. That's the thing. And
right.
getting the training to people quicker. Also, volunteers are a great thing where people want to be a part of this, to definitely reach out that we are setting up a volunteer list where we can actually pull from volunteers because it takes numbers, right? It takes a city
right.
to help do something like this. And that's the great thing. As we grow and we continually to evolve, more people will be attracted to it. More lives are going to be saved. And that's what this is all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we're so excited. We both can say it, but the atmosphere just at the show and the other events leading up to that, you know, people just really felt free and safe. Me as a survivor definitely felt safe and, you know, inspired to talk, which is not something that people always feel, even at events that are supposed to be for that. So there was so much love and support in the room. And that is so imperative with life that you and your organization touch and transform. So we are just so thankful for everything you shared in this time with you and on this topic and just everything that Runway to Life is doing for this cause. So we thank you so much, Alicia, and just wish you the best of everything what you and the staff is doing. Oh, absolutely. Of course, it's not over because we will continue to be involved, but
we're just
so grateful.
Love it.
We're just so grateful that someone is shining. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And of course, we'll post up that information runway2life.com. They can go and find out the events coming and, like you said, the newsletter. And they also can find all of your social media handles so they can stay connected as well.
Awesome. You know, and the holidays are coming up, so a lot of times people can struggle or go through things. So what I would leave on this is if you are seeing someone that's struggling, reach out to them. You know, even if you are sending a Facebook post to them in a message and just say, hey, I see you. And if you're struggling, I'm here for you. But reach out to people and just be able to get help or allow them to know that they're not alone.
That's such a good point, because I think sometimes in the busyness of the holidays, sometimes people forget. Now, I'll say this one thing to that. A lot of times people assume. So you assume that someone has family or you assume that they're doing activities with their family like you, and sometimes we just don't pay attention. But as you said, it's one of the loneliness times. They may have family, but, you know, there's certain things, triggers and things. So that is beautiful. We would just, you know, pay a little bit more attention. And when you see things, definitely looking for the signs. But just show that little bit of attention and appreciation for people.
Yes, and people will voice it. Remember, too, I only gave a few signs where people are actually, you might see it on the Facebook, or if they love going to football games and all of a sudden they're not going anymore, or if they're giving away things during the holidays that are really important to them, those are huge signs. And another thing is people will start saying things. They'll start speaking it out where life is too much. They'll actually say the words that life is just too much anymore. So even by hearing things like that, those are going to be some of your trigger signs that something's not right. And remember, too, that don't worry. You're not going to give them the thoughts. And even if you even have, go with your gut. That's always the first key is go with your gut. If something is telling you something is not right, it probably is not right. And even if they are not suicidal, guess what? You still see them. They're still struggling. They still need help. Even if they're not at that suicide rate right then, at that crisis moment, they still are struggling and they still need to be seen.
Yes.
So either way, it's not a fail. You are helping someone that is struggling.
And I can't think what better words to close out with than that. I love it. And that's definitely something for us to keep in mind in this season, but really every day so we can make a difference.
Absolutely.
But Alicia,
we're all here. Yeah, well, I was going to say we're all here for a purpose, and we're all here for a reason.
Yes.
And the more we start helping, the more we start getting out there, I'm telling you, it's such a great feeling. So even if I could say during the holidays, jump out and try to get involved in any nonprofit. But a give back is such a reward to get something back.
Absolutely. See, now I'm all inspired to do something else, so I love it. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for
Alicia,
having me.
No, thank you, and have a fabulous night.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I absolutely adore her. just absolutely adore her, endure all the great information that she gave, especially for something that's so near and dear to our hearts. What were your thoughts, Rebecca?
Well, I mean, you already know I love Alicia from the first time I spoke with her. And it seems like it was like a long time ago, but it's only been, I think, a couple months.
It really wasn't.
Since I first. Right. I think it's only been like 2 or 3 months. I don't even think it's even been that long.
How do we feel that way with people that are like soul connections? You know, it seems long, but it's really not.
From the very first conversation with her, I was just. She's so passionate about what she's doing. She has such a heart for people. And she's what I also love is she's very clear. She's very clear about what her mission is, what her purpose is. And she doesn't really deviate. Like, whatever is going to help the, you know, the bigger picture of Runway to Life, she's going to do it. And if it's not, she's not going to do it. You know what I mean? So she's very clear on what she's here for. But and then on top of that, she's just warm and like she's like the girlfriend you can just kind of sit and talk to, so she's like everything all wrapped up in a bow. I love her.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we both talk about her loving spirit, but I love the fact that she has a Christ-centered heart, because that's apparent in everything she does, and I truly believe that is the true secret of success. You know, to me, it's you can chase money, you can have all the accolades in the world, but once you connect with what purpose God gave you, it will change your life. Once you identify what that is, and then you pursue it relentlessly, it will change your life, and it will change the life of those you're meant to serve. So I love it. Of course, we've both talked on different episodes of how passionate we are about this topic, me and survivors ourselves. So I love it. I love it. So, of course, again, we wish you a happy birthday since it is your birthday. And what exciting things do you have planned to commemorate another year?
Well, first of all, thank you. And contrary to popular belief, I'm going to actually do kind of a chill birthday. A friend took me out to relieving lunch today. Yep, and some dessert. And Saturday, I think, but Saturday, you know, I'm being treated by some other friends. So, you know, I was going to, you know, be involved in some shenanigans, but I decided to tune it down.
Oh my gosh, she's matured. No shenanigans this year. I love that.
No shenanigans.
On the flip side,
year.
I'll be.
You know, wisdom comes with age, my friend.
No, it doesn't. Not for everybody. I hate to say, noticing it doesn't. Not
you're
for everybody, but we're glad it
came.
Give
a couple examples.
Now, see, we're going to be good. And we're going to keep it Christ-centered. So, of course, we thank everyone for I Can't With You. We thank everyone for tuning in. We're going to invite our listeners to continue to follow us at theentrepreneurslounge.info, because there you can catch all the replays and actually sign up to receive our special updates and information. And then we want to remind you to make yourself the priority, which means taking the utmost care of your mind, body, and spirit, because it is definitely your portion to live in peace and not in pieces. All we can do is wish you goodbye and well wishes for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Entrepreneur's Lounge, where we expose the myths of entrepreneurship and release the weight of it all. Real people, real issues, and real talk with expert solutions. Make sure you stay tuned to our Facebook page and thejoyguru.net for show updates, announcements, and to learn how you can be a guest on our show.